You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that explores all avenues of transformation and aims to offer some useful nuggets that can support us in living in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature. No matter how contrary that might seem, just like this nightingale, the bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and I'm delighted as ever that you could join me today as we hear about the power of music, as well as explore how our sense of smell works when it comes to well-being. Later, Susan Drum will introduce us to the Leaders Playlist, something that can help all of us. But first, it's welcome back to our brain health specialist, Professor James Goodwin, who's Director of Science and Research Impact at the Brain Health Network. He's one of the world's foremost experts on brain health and the author of Supercharge Your Brain, an excellent book, as I've said before on this show. Today, Professor Goodwin is helping us sniff out the science of aroma and well-being. Smell to be well? I started off by asking him simply, how does that work?
The reason is that smell as a sense, we all think, takes place in the nose, and actually doesn't. It takes place in the brain. And until recently, it was not very well understood how important olfaction is to our everyday lives. But if I can just go back into history for a while.
Yeah.
Percy Bysshe Shelley in the late 1790s wrote a poem called Music When Soft Voices Die. And in there, he said, odors when sweet violence sicken live within the sense they quicken. And he is an odoriferous writer. He understood the importance of olfaction. And you may have come across in literature that Proustian moment.
Yes, with the Madeleine.
Yeah, with the Madeleine, yeah, and the sip of tea, mm-hmm. and how it raises spontaneous memories.
Yeah.
Well, the fact is that these odoriferous molecules in the air around us, that's things we can smell, that are over 1 million of them, have direct access to the brain. Mm. And one of two ways, they can go into the nose and then they can diffuse down the nerve endings and straight into the olfactory bulb of the brain. And then that's connected straight to the very powerful limbic system, which is the seat of our emotions. And it goes all the way up to our cerebral hemispheres where we can remember things, make decisions about things and think about things. So it's got this direct pathway, or we can breathe them in. It absorbs into our bloodstream, the blood circulates to the brain, and most odoriferous molecules, especially things we call essential oils, which are important in cosmetics, food, perfumes, and health, they pass straight through the blood-brain barrier and directly into the neurons of the brain. Yeah. So they're highly evocative. These 1 million odors around us are highly evocative and have a direct access path to the brain. And they're very, very powerful because of the direct route which they take.
It's interesting. And I think a lot of people will have maybe the wrong idea about smell. So you're talking about essential oils, for instance, and you're talking about the particles from. So smell isn't just some kind of nebulous thing that doesn't have any actual material presence. It's not just air. It is actual stuff that passes up our mouths and noses and into the brain. Yeah.
Most natural materials from the plant and the animal world are evaporative. That is that part of their chemistry, their chemical constituents, leaves, enters the air and forms a suspension or an aerosol or a mixture in the air, which has got access to our nose. And scientists and clinicians all underestimate the power of the sense of smell. Now, why? That has its roots in the history of science. And all the way back to the early 19th century, scientists, many of them said that we were anosmic, which means we really have no sense of smell. Freud, for example, said that smell is vestigial. It's atrophied. But actually, modern science is now showing us that it's not one of the least important. It's one of the most important senses that we have. I'll just give you one example of that. What does our mouth taste? Sweet, sour, salt, and bitter. Those are the four tastes which are detected by the tongue. Okay. Everything else in food and wine is actually an aromatic odor.
Yeah.
Which goes into the back of the throat and into the nose. And those people with actually no sense of smell, and that's increasingly found over the age of 65, they say that the food doesn't taste very attractive. It loses its qualities because taste is really smell. Mm. And smell is highly important to the brain.
Yes, and I get that. And good news for all aromatherapists who have been poo-pooed over many years by people who say, oh, well, that's a load of rubbish. How can that work? But it does work, doesn't it? So say you go to, or if I go to see an aromatherapist, they choose different aromas. I mean, maybe lavender is a common one, obviously. So is it that the properties of the lavender plant then enter our bodies through the blood-brain barrier, through smelling it, and that's partly how the properties of the lavender get into our bodies. Of course, we can also have an aromatherapy massage as well, so it gets through the skin. But just smelling that, do the actual properties of the plant, that may seem like a simplistic question, but I think for a lot of people, it'd be hard for them to get their heads around it. The properties of the plant are actually entering our body through the molecules that are going through our noses, as it were.
That is absolutely correct, JJ.
Yeah.
I was overwhelmed and I was overawed by the chemistry of essential oils as I read about this to write a paper probably about 6 months ago now. There are over 3,000 essential oils. These are fat-soluble, very small molecule chemicals which are found in largely in plants, over 3,000 of them. And if we extract the oils and we get the pure essence, that's why they're called essential oils. They're not essential to us.
No.
they convey the essential property of the plant through their chemistry.
Right.
And each of those essential oils has anything from between 200 and 400 active ingredients. And those active ingredients are now being singled out by science, and we're finding out what they do in the brain. I'll just give one off-the-cuff example, and that's rosemary is found to to improve our alertness and make us feel active and fresher. Chemical trials have been done, and we now know that the molecule behind that is something called 1,8-threonyl. And have I pronounced that right? Crineal, 1,8-crineal.
Right.
So we know precisely down to a single chemical molecule what it is about rosemary that makes us feel alert and more active and fresher.
Yeah.
Essential oils are nature's treasure house.
Mm.
And scientists are beginning increasingly to realize that there are millions of plant species in the world, from the Arctic to the tropical rainforests, are a compendium, a treasure chest of chemical molecules which are beneficial to human health. Mm-hmm. And the big pharmaceutical companies now themselves are beginning to do trials on natural molecules which can improve our health. And the brain is one area, and I can give you examples of which essential oils produce which effect in the brain.
Oh, do. That's what we want to hear. Tell us a few of those.
Sure. Well, there are sort of three areas which I'll choose. One of them is our mental performance.
Mm-hmm.
So the question there is, are there essential oils which have been proven to improve our cognitive performance? That's the first question.
Right.
Second question is, are there essential oils which can improve our mood, our stress levels, and our sense of arousal, how alert we are? And the answer to that question is, yes, there are.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one would be, are there essential oils which have anti-aging and medical properties? And the answer to that is also yes.
Right.
Now, you have to be careful with essential oils. They're enormously powerful.
Mm.
Some essential oils have different effects depending upon the route of entry into the body. So, for example, eucalyptus, it's okay if you inhale it. It's absorbed through the lining of the nose. The nasal epithelium goes straight into the brain. And that has no harmful effects on the body. But if you swallow eucalyptus, then it can become lethal.
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful about the route and that's used for absorbing the essential oil. And you also have to be careful about the dose because they're very, very powerful molecules. So my message to all your listeners is do a little bit of homework on essential oils and ask questions beyond what you see on the internet screen, because people who are selling a service or selling a product will over-exaggerate and over-egg the pudding in order to get you to become a consumer, buy their service or buy their product. So you've got to do a little bit of reading, and caveat emptor, let the buyer beware.
Yeah,
I could now tell you a few examples of what molecules do what, if you like.
Yeah, please do. But just before you do that, I was just going to say, or go and see an aromatherapist, but a properly qualified aromatherapist who knows exactly what the dosage should be, and exactly what you need.
And even then, interrogate the track record of the aromatherapist. Make sure who you're going to. That they're not represented on the Council for the Profession Supplementary to Medicine. Aromatherapists take my general experience is they take great pride in their professionalism.
Yes.
And I know aromatherapists whom I would trust implicitly to get it right.
Absolutely. So having offered that bit of counsel to anybody who's interested, give us some examples.
Well, we'll go back to those three areas, cognition, mood or emotion, if you like, and disease-related effects. So let's start with the cognition. What do we mean by cognition? Thinking skills. So things like your reasoning, your mathematical ability, your decision-making, your planning, all the higher intellectual functions. Now, the great ones to improve that are rosemary. So performance on a number of tests, including mathematics, is improved once you've absorbed rosemary by by inhaling. So another one would be peppermint. Peppermint is great for memory. It's great for alertness. Recall, for example, of words is improved by peppermint. And actually, your fatigue levels over a long thinking task are protected by peppermint. Now, we can compare that to lavender. Lavender is exactly the opposite, so that your reaction time, the speed with which the nervous system reacts to a stimulus coming in, like a sound or a visual signal, like something that enters your visual field, what you see, right? That reaction time is reduced by lavender, not improved. This might sound weird to your listeners, but reaction time is one of the big measures of psychology to detect the extent to which you are aging well. Lavender reduces your working time, and lavender reduces the capacity of your working memory.
Right.
So if you want to improve your cognitive performance, the things to go for are rosemary and peppermint. And I can recall Ophelia in Hamlet, William Shakespeare now, not Proust or Shelley. And in Hamlet, she says, rosemary, that is good for memory.
Oh, does she?
Yes.
I don't remember that. Now, and the thing I want to ask you there is, if you ingest rosemary or peppermint, so a lot of us would have peppermint tea, or we have rosemary with lamb, or, you know, does that have the same effect or not? Do you have to inhale rosemary and peppermint for it to have that effect on the brain?
These are the measured effects of essential oils inhaled in the air through the nose.
Right.
And experiments on absorption through the skin and absorption as you swallow them, mm-hmm. you go into the digestive system, those studies are much less frequent than...
Right.
So the statements I've made apply to inhaled ones.
Yeah.
Now, on mood and stress, well, let's have a look at essential oils, which are anxiolytic. They reduce anxiety. Well, there are a number of them. I'll quote four or five of them. Lavender, sweet orange, sandalwood, rose oil, and bergamot. They've all been shown by scientific experiments to reduce levels of anxiety. Mm. Lavender will work in low levels of anxiety and medium levels, but highly intense anxiety where you can't think about anything else because you're so anxious, lavender is much less effective at the top end of the anxiety. Lavender has also been used to used as a neurological treatment.
Mm-hmm.
And others like Melissa. Melissa has been shown to affect patients very well who've got Alzheimer's disease. One of the features of Alzheimer's in many people is agitation.
Yeah.
And also withdrawal from social contact. And Melissa has been shown in a very posh journal. And in fact, one of the authors, my Dean of Medicine at Exeter University, Professor Clive Ballard, and what they showed was that it reduces social withdrawal time and lowers agitation.
Mm.
So
interesting, yeah.
Yeah, they're fabulous. Now, even better than that, many essential oils right across the board are anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, and neuroprotective. And I'll give you a whole list of those. Chamomile, clove, garlic, ginger oil, thyme, sage, yang-yang. All those have got these wonderful biochemical properties on the body, all of which are highly beneficial for health. And not only that, many of them also attack the underlying mechanisms of Alzheimer's disease.
Mm.
Now, we haven't got to the stage yet where we can, hand on heart as scientists, say these should be used as a treatment for Alzheimer's disease. But there are 16 clinical trials at the moment between essential oils and Alzheimer's disease going on.
Yeah.
So they are anticholinesterase, which is cholinergic stimulation in the brain is much reduced in Alzheimer's. So if you can remove the enzyme that removes the acetylcholine, you're onto a winner. And many, that's peppermint, which does that. Six ginger oil, which is an active ingredient of ginger oil.
Mm.
And your listeners may have heard of amyloid beta hypothesis. This is a protein that builds up in the cells of the brain and then triggers dementia.
Right.
It's not the actual underlying hard and fast chemical cause of dementia. It just in some way triggers it. Well, essential oils reduce the formation of amyloid beta, these beta molecules. They also reduce the formation of the tangles between the brain cells. Wow. So we're looking at some very promising benefits of essential oils.
Yeah, just don't assume that your pets will benefit in the same way. Essential oils can be toxic to animals, so always check first. We'll have more from James Goodwin in a few moments, but right now, it's time to hear from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on UK Health Radio with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest, Professor James Goodwin. With so many people losing their sense of smell after COVID or ordinary flu, I had to ask, what about them?
There's an essential oil that's being used in clinical trials to reverse the effects of post-COVID illness. It's called Carvacrol.
Yeah.
But the great thing about sense of smell is there's no good test for dementia. Early test. We know that dementia starts 20 years, maybe longer, sometimes 30 years before it's diagnosed. And in that period of time, there's no really good test for dementia, except now we know that the sense of smell is a very, very good early detection for Alzheimer's, and there are companies and researchers working on that at the moment to produce tests for dementia. And in the early stages, of course, mental tests and imaging won't work. I mean, at the moment, the diagnosis of dementia is clinched on an image, a brain image, and a mini mental state examination. Those are not good in those 20 or 30 years before Alzheimer's. And I forget the name of the new drug that's been brought out to show that it will slow down dementia. It only works in the early stages. So it's really important we get that early diagnosis, because if we don't, the only drug we know, or one of the few that we know, helps dementia, it's not available to you because you've gone past the early stages.
Yeah. And then if somebody wants to use aromatherapy as a preventative measure, what essential oils would you suggest if we're looking at fending off something like Alzheimer's or dementia?
I don't think there is compelling evidence yet to show for definite that the use of essential oils is a preventative measure for Alzheimer's disease.
Mm-hmm.
What they will do is improve your brain health.
Okay.
And anything that you can do to improve your brain health will help you to resist the downward trends of dementia.
Yeah.
So it's good news. It's good. Idea that essential oils can maintain brain health is good news for people.
No, I think I really think it is, and I'm very pleased that we've talked about this today, because I think for a lot of people it'll be eye opening with regard to aromatherapy, because it's still one of those areas which people are slightly, you know, they look on it down their noses, you know.
So to speak,
exactly. So thank you so much for talking to us about that today. Yeah, another way of keeping our brains healthy. What a fantastic thing to do. Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Thanks very much, JJ. Always a pleasure to talk to you.
The pleasure's all mine. Do share this with anyone who's skeptical about the benefits of aromatherapy, because there's really good science to back it up, as you've just heard. Now, from olfaction to another sense, hearing, with my next guest, Susan Drum, whose book, The Leader's Playlist, had me intrigued. One reviewer calls it an incredible new book at using music to improve our leadership, behaviour, and ultimately our lives. Susan is a CEO advisor and leadership coach who's worked with billionaire, that's with a B, CEOs, high-profile political figures, prominent Fortune 100 executive teams, and a host of entrepreneurs. She helps leaders and their teams develop the capacity and the mindsets to lead in today's disruptive environment. But that wasn't Susan's original career plan. She left Harvard Law School on a traditional corporate path until life took her in a different direction.
I was intrigued to see that you actually came all the way over to London and did a degree at the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art. So tell me about that. And it changed your life, didn't it? It completely changed the way you... Yeah, so tell me about that.
Yeah, it was... It changed my career and my life, you would say. Up until then, I had worked in corporate America and consulting, big name consulting firms. And I had wonderful experiences, but I also saw two things. One, some of the leaders I worked with were quite... I don't know what the right word is that I can say and still be.
You don't want to be rude. I know.
Depressing for me, and knocked the wind out of my sails. And here I am, bright, eager, out of Harvard Law School. You know, I'm ready to go. And it was literally the type of leadership I experienced that had me want to disengage. And it got to the point that I decided to take a break because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was so disillusioned, I guess you could say. And I had moved over there with my husband, and he was working, and I didn't really have a visa to work. So I decided to do something I'd always wanted to do, where I did have passion, which was in acting. And so I applied to a number of schools, and I got into Lambda's school, which was amazing. And it was an amazing program. But what it taught me was things that I thought, wow, a lot of leaders could really use the training in acting. For one, this ability to authentically connect to your fellow actor, but also to deal with that inner critic, that voice inside your head, because you're going to need to get a handle on that as an actor. Otherwise, you're worried about, is the guy in the front row's phone going to go off and I'm distracted by that? Or what if I forget my lines or whatever it may be? You've got to be fully present. And I thought, wow, there's got to be a way I could bring some of these learnings back to business. And it started me on my path into leadership development more than 20 years ago.
Oh, that's so interesting. And I know that some of my friends and associates who do communication skills training and presenter skills training, they started off learning all their skills at maybe not Lambda, but other acting schools in the country. Yeah. So there are transferable skills. Yeah, absolutely. And then the music. So where did that come in and how did that come in?
Well, music's always been a passion of mine, and I think it's almost been a driving force my entire life. Although I don't play an instrument, and I have a funny story about why that ended up that way, I've had this special relationship with music, and my friends still remark that I seem to know the words to almost every song. When a song comes on, I know the words, and I don't know how that's possible, but I do. And I think it really came about looking at trying to heal my own childhood wounds and some of the old patterns that I had. And the story really is, I had just gone through a very tumultuous breakup that had some betrayal and, you know, really was quite resentful. And I knew as a coach that this loop of resentment wasn't serving me. I needed to, you know, feel it and then move on. But I couldn't seem to move on from it. And I got stuck in it. And what I noticed is that when nothing else seemed to work, I turned to music. And music did more than soothe me. That music, what I found, had the power to heal me.
Yeah.
And it was really powerful.
Yeah.
And I created a playlist called I Am Empowered. And it was all songs of, you know, I am woman, hear me roar type yes. music. And whenever I felt myself going down this loop of resentment, you know, something would get triggered, a memory, whatever, I'm like, nope, not doing that. I'm, you know, and I would use the music to help interrupt the old pattern, but I would use music than to build the new pattern that I really wanted to have my life represent. And what I found was, wow, it happened more quickly than I could have imagined. So I got super fascinated about what is the power of music on our brains neurologically that enabled that to happen. Yeah. And I started using it with my clients too.
Yes, it's so interesting, isn't it? And when I've gone through really, really dark times in my life, or times when I just, you know, was really struggling, I found that music was the one thing that could really G me up, that could really get me back on track, could really get me going. And I had a bit of a playlist myself at one point when I was going through a very, very troubled time. And, you know, it was really empowering music. I remember I think the soundtrack to the film Gladiator was part of it. That sort of really, you know, I found that really uplifting in many ways. So I know it sounds a bit bizarre, but anyway, that, you know, yes. that was, you know, one of the things that helped me get through. And there is something about how music affects your neural pathways, isn't there? There is something very, actually scientific about yes. that. And if you use yes. music in a targeted way, shall we say, then it can really, really get you somewhere very quickly.
Yes, absolutely. You know, music, there's two bodies of research I talk about in the book, The Leader's Playlist. One is about music's impact on the brain and how music actually on MRI studies lights up all regions of the brain. It encompasses all of it, both left and right. And there's something about its ability to refire neural pathways. When you think about how they use it, music therapy for Alzheimer's patients who are unresponsive, and they put music on, you know, from their era, and all of a sudden they come alive. They start talking, and there's a light in their eyes that was missing. Now, why is that? That yeah. just music, right, would help reestablish those neural pathways. And so I bring in a lot of studies around the impact of music. And then the other body of research that I wanted to look at is how what happened to us in childhood affects our leadership today. Because that's what I've seen coaching very senior leaders over the past 20 years is how they were reacting in the moment had everything to do and its roots in their childhood wounds. And so I brought in some research about The Body Keeps the Score and Childhood Disrupted, wonderful books that look at the impact of our childhood experiences and how they affect us as adults today, particularly with health-related challenges, but also our mental state. And what I want to look, we know to some degree that music impacts our it has this ability to shift our state. That's why we use it to work out, right? Pump ourselves up.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to do was create a process that would music would help us shift a very deep-seated pattern. So much deeper than just like, hey, let's use it to work out. But let's uncover what that deep-seated pattern that is a ceiling on your leadership effectiveness. And let's use music both to identify when you're headed down what I call the 8-lane highway to hell. And let's use music to form a new neural pathway more efficiently and quickly and get you on the path that you truly want to be on.
And that presumably will differ from person to person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So in the book, I outline 9 examples of leaders and having them uncover what is that old belief pattern that is a thread through their life. Certainly, if you say to yourself, why does this keep happening to me? That's definitely a playlist you've got running in the background. And know that I use the term playlist both figuratively and literally. So that's a playlist you have running in the background. But also, sometimes you're not as aware of the patterns. I wasn't as aware what my old playlist was, which was, I am treated unfairly, until I started writing about my life and noticing, what was the pattern? Where did I go when things didn't work out for me? What was the feeling that kept showing up, or the vibration that kept showing up in those instances? And that's when I started to see the pattern.
It's fascinating, isn't it? So are you willing to share with us some of your playlist, your personal playlist? I mean, what's got you through? What's changed your life?
Well, yes. Well, that piece started to change my life. And, you know, it was songs like This Girl is on Fire. I love that song, right? There's another song called Rise Up that had a true meaning for me. But there was one song that was, I like to have clients understand that you can use a specific anchor song. It's like your go-to song. And for me, that song was Bruno Mars's 24 Karat Magic.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Every time I hear that song, it just takes me to a different place. And when I realized and I studied it further, if my old playlist is I'm frustrated and feeling left out and feeling treated unfairly, 24 Karat Magic is the exact opposite of that. It's like, the party has started, I have arrived, right? And like, let's go. And there's something about it. And I know the lyrics to all the words, so it's just fun to rap that. And it will shift my state.
Yeah. Yes. It's really interesting how that works. Now, a lot of people at home are saying, well, we're talking about leadership here, but we're also talking about personal leadership. We're talking talking about people, you know, executives in big corporations. We're talking about personal leadership as well. So even if you're at home, even if you're out of work, even if you're, you know, self-employed, not employed, mother or father, whatever you are, whatever your role in life right now is, there is a playlist and you can use it to improve your own self-leadership as well as leadership of others, isn't there?
Absolutely. You know, this book is for, I like to say, any leader, but any human, really. Yeah. I tend to take a leadership bent to it because I'm in the field of leadership development, but the principles apply to anyone, no matter what stage of life you're in. And it's starting to notice, when are you beating the drum, which is kind of funny that my last name is Drum.
Yeah.
Where are you beating the drum of something that is not serving you? Because you're sending out literally a vibration that is going to have that experience continually return to you. So if you want to change it, you're going to have to change that emotional pattern or that emotional state. And music is your brain hack to do it.
Oh, I love that. Literally change your tune. But before you head off to create your new playlist, it's time to listen to more messages from our sponsors. We'll be back right after this.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ Stenhouse, the practical alchemist, and leadership coach, Susan Drum. Now, we were talking before the break about changing our playlist to enhance our lives, but I asked Susan if it wasn't the case that there are some pieces of music that we might do well to steer clear of because they have the opposite effect.
Yes, yes. So look, music can be wonderful for us to help get in touch with our emotions. So I'm not suggesting that we should never feel bad emotions because they're really important data points for us. They give us information. What I'm talking about is when you get stuck in a loop that is not serving you anymore, like me with the resentment. That's not serving me. I felt it and I felt it and I felt it and I need to like move on, right? It's now become a habit and that is not good. So you can use music to be able to choose similarly to the other, like what's that anchor song that will interrupt the pattern that will actually have you say, oh yeah, that's, yeah, here I go again. I had a great example where a leader chose an Adele song, Hello, because she often felt like she wasn't welcome in certain circumstances. And so she used that song because, you know, Adele's like, hello, can you hear me? Like, I'm begging to come back in your life.
Yeah.
As like when she would start to feel the same emotions, she would say, oh, there's Adele again. And kind of bring some humor and some levity to it and say like, I'm in that pattern again and I don't want to be. Mm. I used, there's a song called Jar of Hearts, Christina Perry's song, and it's really about a woman that's quite jilted and scorned, and you know, from that place say, okay, that helped me get in touch with the emotion that I needed to experience, but I don't want to keep playing that song.
No And I'm just thinking back, I'm thinking on the playlist of my life, right, and thinking about times when I have gone through tough times. And I was a massive David Bowie fan, still am, bereft. I couldn't believe when he died. But of course, we all go at some stage. And I, for many years, would have a Bowie tape. You can see how old I am in the car. And and that would be played and played and played as I was driving. And Bowie would always be on in the house. I found the energy in it so impactful. I found that I would be lifted up. And also, you know, what he said to people without saying it was, it's okay to be different. It's okay to, you know, to be something else. It's okay. He really was the standard bearer for somebody who doesn't quite fit in, which is how I felt often at the time. So now I don't listen so much these days. I still love Bowie. I still love his music, but I'm not listening to it all the time these days. I don't need to, but I do love it when I hear it, and it kind of transports me back, you know, to, you know, seeing him live in concert or doing whatever. it's really hugely important for us. And for instance, at Christmas time, you know, all those Christmas songs and Christmas carols,
yes,
they all transport you somewhere, don't they?
They do. And for some, it's joyfully transported. Mm. And for some, it's painfully transported.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
And that's, I think the point is, it's people say, well, is there certain, like, do you have to tell me which song? No, it's more a discovery of what does the music do to you?
Yeah.
Right. I've had people put on their old playlist a song, and that same song is on someone's new playlist because it represents something different to them.
Of course. And that's going to happen, isn't it? As we said right at the start, is this going to be something different for everybody? Because nobody is the same. Nobody has the same life experiences. And it's associations with those life experiences, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And thinking about what, you know, would get me going in the morning. I remember I used to play, there was a Robbie Williams song at the time. I can't remember the name of it now. Oh, that's terrible. But the lyrics were something along the lines of, I just want to feel love. You know, I just want to feel the love. Can you, I don't know.
Is it Angel?
No. Well, Angel's another one, right? That was another one.
Song.
Yeah, that's a beautiful song. But no, this was Feel. I think it's something about, yeah. Something along, anyway, something mm-hmm. along those lines. And what I found was that it helped me express that somehow, that feeling somehow, and, you know, sort of get that out there so that I could move on and move past it. Is that something that you've experienced with people as well? And have you experienced that?
Yes. I mean, if you haven't yet felt what you need to feel, that is a wonderful way to use music so that you can move beyond it.
Yeah.
So I think you need to understand sort of what stage you are in emotionally. And I think that that's the power of music. It helps us get in touch with our emotions. And one of the things I talk about is emotions are frequency. We can measure, you know, I'm certified in heart math. I don't know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. The Institute of Heart Math. Yeah.
So
I'm a big fan of this.
Yeah. We can measure 3 feet off the body, the heart's electromagnetic signal. And in that signal, there's an encoding where if you're feeling frustration or anger, it looks different than if you're feeling love and appreciation.
Yeah.
So you're broadcasting your message, whether you know it or not. I mean, your dog knows this. When you're around your dog, they can feel when you're happy and when you're sad. And why is that? It's not like you're in the communication. It's what you're broadcasting. So what I really hope people take from this is to get a sense of like, what am I broadcasting out there?
Mm.
And is it something that I need to feel to move on? Does it have important information in for me to take action? Or is it something that has become a pattern in my life that if I want to make shifts in my life, I'm going to need to shift mm-hmm. that piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's, you know, in general, that's easier said than done. But what I offer in the book is a 7-step process. And I even have a masterclass where people can go through and, you know, we have a workbook and some exercises that will help you uncover what is that pattern and how do I shift it?
Absolutely. What song am I singing? What song am I broadcasting to the world? And I love that way of looking at it. And it is all frequency. We are all vibrating at a certain level and that gets picked up. And we can change that frequency. We can change how we're vibrating. And music is a beautiful way of helping us do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, and the book, the Leaders Playlist. Is that
yes.
right?
The Leaders Playlist, How to Unleash the Power of Music and Neuroscience to Transform Your Leadership and Your Life.
That's the one. I couldn't remember the whole length of it.
I know. I had to put the music and the neuroscience part in so people understood that this is not just some other leadership book that there's thousands that rehash the same thing.
Yes.
I wanted to put out something very different.
Well, exactly. And it sounds like you have brought in a whole load of things which are you know, well-researched, very interesting. The HeartMath Institute of HeartMath, they do some fantastic work in terms of coherence and energy and heart, you know, rhythm, that sort of thing. So I think it sounds like a great book to get if you are stuck or you realize that, you know, you're just going through the same old stuff time and time again. Change your tune, change the music.
Yeah. Yes, change your playlist and you change your life.
Yeah, fantastic. So, Susan, if people want to, I was going to do a terrible pun there and say, come and beat along to your drum. That's just awful, though. So pretend I didn't say that.
Oh, it's all good.
But if people want to find out more about you, and you've got a lot on your website, your story, all that kind of thing, people want to find out more about you, where do they find out?
Yes. Well, if you want to learn more about the book, you can go to theleadersplaylistbook.com. And the masterclass that I talked about, which is a 10-lesson online course, is at susandrum.com/masterclass. And drum is with a double M at the end. Yes. S-U-S-A-N-D-R-U-M-M.
And we'll try not to use any more puns there. Fantastic. Susan, thank you so much. I think the work that you're doing sounds fabulous. I think I can really see how it can help people shift almost painlessly. And, you know, people who are in a lot of pain and just really can't break through. They're, you know, walking through treacle. Yeah, I can so see how creating a playlist like that will help you move through. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for allowing me to get this message out, because I just think people are really hurting right now. There's a lot of divisiveness. There's a lot of anxiety in the world. And whatever we can do to manage our internal state will only serve what happens in the external world.
I couldn't agree with you more. Susan, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And that Robbie Williams track is called Feel. I just want to feel real love, feel the home that I live in. That line in particular resonated with me. Now, sadly, we've come to the end of the show, but I'd love to hear what's been on your playlist over the years and what's running at the moment. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook as The Practical Alchemist, so do leave a message there. I hope you've enjoyed this episode and it's unearthed a few nuggets for you. Remember, we're on the world's favourite podcast channels now. If that's how you're listening and you like what you hear, do subscribe and share. It would also be absolutely fantastic if you would leave a review. That really helps. You can download this show from the Alchemy 101 page on ukhealthradio.com. And while you're there, why not check out our sister publication, Health Triangle Magazine? It's a good read. For now, though, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale until the next time here on Alchemy 101.